Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our Lord Jesus explains to us, what is the cost of following Jesus Christ? Every day when you make decisions, you consider the cost first. Before you purchase a car, you consider the cost as to whether you can afford it. Before you choose to attend a college or the university, you count the cost and determine whether you can afford to go to that college. If you're going to give a gift to someone, you consider the cost before you purchase it, so you don't go in debt and have enough money to purchase the gift. Or if you decide to join or are considering joining an organization, first you look at what the organization is all about, and you count the cost as to whether you can commit to that group or to that organization. You count the cost, then you proceed. How much more are we called to count the cost of following Jesus Christ? And Jesus does not make any apologies for asking us to count this cost. Moses told us in the Old Testament this morning that the Lord our God, in his ways and commandments which are laid before us, calls us to choose life and blessing rather than death and the curse, to love the Lord your God, to obey his voice, to hold fast to him, because he is your life and your length of days. How do you do that? And how do you count the cost? As Christians, we daily count the cost of carrying our cross as disciples who follow Jesus alone. Let us briefly consider four aspects of what counting the cost means. What does Jesus mean, first of all, when he says you should hate even your own life and carry your cross and follow him? What does Jesus mean when he says you count the cost like a man completing the building of the tower or a soldier going to war? What does Jesus mean when he says to renounce everything we have to be his disciple? And finally, what does Jesus mean that he wants us to be salt in a tasteless world? We begin with, what does Jesus mean to hate our own life, to carry a cross, and follow him? The context was this. Great crowds accompany and are following Jesus everywhere. They want to see him do a miracle. They want a bread king who can give them bread. They want to see some action, some miracles. They want a good show. They don't really grasp what Jesus is all about. And so Luke says that Jesus turns and says to them. Now, in all the Gospels, and especially in the Gospel of Luke, when Luke says Jesus turns, that means the world stops and everyone listens. I have something to say. And Jesus turns to them and wants them to understand. All you people following me, do you understand that if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, brothers, sisters, and children, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple? And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple? Jesus is wanting to make these crowds realize, if you actually want to be my disciple, you're going to have to hate your own life, carry a cross, and follow me. What does Jesus mean? When Jesus says we should hate even our own lives, what he's indicating here is that your life belongs to God, not to you. You came forth from your parents and you have siblings. But Christ takes first prominence in our life. We cannot allow our siblings, our parents, or our children to dissuade us from following Christ, even our own lives. So when it comes to hating our own life, and even the members of our family, what he means is that you must never allow anyone or anything to take you away from following Christ above all, because Christ is your Savior and your brother and brings you into a much greater family, the Church of Christ, through faith in him. And when he says you must pick up your cross and follow me, what is a cross? A cross is something that you bear because of being faithful to Christ. A cross in the New Testament is not the common ordinary circumstances of which we all have. Some of us get cancer, some of us lose a job, some of us have difficulty in a situation in our neighborhood, and we might have a car accident. We have all kinds of woes of this life because we live in a sinful, broken, fallen world. These are common to Christians and non-Christians. A cross is something that happens to us because of our faithfulness to Christ, speaking for Christ and then paying the price, picking up our cross and following him no matter what. You know, it is Jesus who hated even his own life to save us. It is Jesus who bore the cross for us. Jesus came down from heaven to earth and in his humility gave up his very life on the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. And he is the one who's gone before us as our Savior, as our brother. As Paul said to Philemon, in Jesus we have grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We boldly take up the cross and follow Christ. And you don't have to look for crosses. It's not that you go out and try to find a cross. If you are faithful to Christ, a cross will come to you. And when that cross comes, you choose to follow Christ and not give up. Indeed, it is our privilege to pick up our cross and follow him. We need to stop making apologies and watering down Jesus. Jesus says, hate your own life, pick up your cross and follow me. And he means it. He means for us to do that. And so we joyfully carry the cross, whatever that might mean. Many of you have spoken up in a public setting and said, I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. And you were laughed at and you were mocked. But yet you held to the truth of God's word. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Throughout your life, carry the cross gladly and follow Jesus. The next thing we ask ourselves is, what does Jesus mean that we should count the cost of completing the tower or going to war? Jesus looks around at the crowd and says, which of you, if you're going to build a tower, don't you sit down and figure the cost first before you lay the foundation? And if you don't, you run out of money and everyone laughs at you that you couldn't complete it. You wouldn't do that. And if you're a king going to war, 10,000 against 20,000, you weigh and count the cost and say, well, I'm going to send a delegation for peace because I can't win this battle. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants to look at our lives and ask ourselves, am I willing to count the cost of being used by God to build his tower, if you will, to fight his battles and wars? This is not something we do on our own. It is Jesus who counted the cost. It is Jesus who built the tower of God's kingdom. It is Jesus who went to battle against Satan and defeated him. He established the terms of peace. Christ is our peace. And our love and our faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ is focused on him, our greatest treasure. And so when we look at counting the cost, every day you have to make a decision. Will I speak up for the defense of the unborn child or remain silent when someone jokes about abortion? Will I speak up for the Word of God when someone mocks the Bible as a book of myths and fantasies? Will I speak up or will I remain silent? Each and every Sunday, you make a decision to come here to church. You could be doing something else. You could be reading the paper about the OU game yesterday. You could do that when you get home. You came here this morning to receive word and sacrament. You made the decision to come here because this is your greatest treasure, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Each and every day, not only do you pick up your cross to follow Jesus, you count the cost and say, it's worth it. Jesus is the greatest treasure. He, at all costs, laid down his life for me. I will gladly count the cost to follow him. Then Jesus moves on. And what does it mean when he says we are called to renounce everything we have as Jesus' disciple? He says, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, this is a hard thing to hear because we are new man and old Adam at the same time. We are saint and sinner at the same time. As a saint, we want to give everything to Christ, our very lives. But the old Adam, the sinful man, says, no, hold on to it for yourself. You got to get what you can while you're still here on earth. It's all about you. What Jesus is getting at is this. Renouncing everything you have acknowledges that everything you have, isn't actually yours. It all belongs to God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you. He gave you abilities and talents. You provide for your family, you have money, you have income, you have a house. But all these things actually belong to God. When you die, somebody else will wear your shoes. When you die, somebody else will move into your house and someone else will live there. You are just stewards of what God has given you. In Christ Jesus, we can renounce everything we have by acknowledging that all of our time, treasure, and talents are completely a gift from God to be used through faith in Him and love for our brother. It is Jesus, of course, who renounced all that He had for us, humbling Himself even to death upon the cross. It was Jesus who suffered real pain and blood and sweat when He was crucified on the cross. He is our righteousness and holiness. He gives you everything. He is your everything. And so all that we have is to be put in service of Him. For Paul said, we have this full knowledge, we have an effective faith and every good thing for the sake of Christ. Renouncing all that I have and acknowledging it is all yours, Lord, and I will use it all to serve you and my brother in need. And then lastly, what does Jesus mean that we are to be salt in a world that's lost its taste? You are to be salt. If you lose your saltiness, you're of no good, Jesus says, but yet to be thrown to the soil and the manure pile and just simply thrown away. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, we put salt in food to season it. We use salt as a preservative. But when salt goes bad, it's just thrown out and people walk on it. It's of no use whatsoever. Jesus is saying that we are to be salt in this world, in a world that has no flavor whatsoever. All through Scripture, we see examples of people who speak up for the truth and are salt in this world. You were salt in this world when you say there's only male and female that God has created. And people laugh at that. You were salt in this world when you say marriage is only between a man and a woman. God created marriage. And you might be mocked for that. You were salt for the Lord when you say we did not evolve from monkeys. We were created in the image of God, male and female. We are valued by Him. And the world laughs, especially in a university setting, where people just assume evolution is true and won't even listen to the biblical account of creation. And you are salt when you speak that truth. As I said before, when you proclaim that Christ is the only way and the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and you are mocked because people say, "Who are you to say that? You're just a Christian. There's all these different religions in the world. You're prejudiced and you're arrogant." And on it goes. Every single one of you in this room has learned what it means to be salt in this world. You are the one at work who isn't taking God's name in vain, and you're called a goody two-shoes or whatever. You are the one in the locker room who is not bragging about all your pursuits with women, but are treating marriage as something that is holy and sacred and might be laughed at. So be salt in this world, proudly proclaiming that in Christ is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And after all, Jesus is the true salt of the earth. The taste of God's truth is found in Jesus alone. The world doesn't want Jesus, but the world needs Jesus. And Jesus is the salt, because He was salted, if you will, in His death upon the cross. In the atoning sacrifice on the cross poured out in His blood, we have been redeemed by His blood from sin, death, and hell, and given righteousness, justification, and eternal life. Jesus is the true salt of the earth. And so, as Paul said, we can be bold in Christ to do that which is required, even if it means being a prisoner for Christ, to the benefit of others. There are people today in China who were thrown into prison simply because they're faithful to Christ. I read this week of a Christian politician in Iceland. All she did on her webpage was post Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, description of the roles of husband and wife in marriage. And now, because of the political correctness in Iceland, she may be thrown into prison for posting a Bible passage that's not allowed to speak that kind of truth to the people in Iceland. Lest we think this will never happen to us, I think we ought to think twice, that all around the world, the devil, the world and our own sinful flesh, wants to destroy the gospel of Christ. But we don't have to be afraid. We can be bold. We can be light and salt in this world. Why? You've been baptized. You've been taught the word of God. You heard the word of absolution this morning. You're about to take Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You don't need to be afraid of anyone or anything. Because Christ carried the cross for you, you can count the cost of carrying the cross for Him. Joyfully pick it up and carry it into heaven. I encourage all of you who are able to come to the Everyone His Witness module on September 21st. We need to have 30 people in there learning how you can, in your vocation and callings, share Christ with those around you. Please sign up and be with us on that day. Because we continue here not only to be bold in our own personal lives, but we walk as one family at Trinity Lutheran, in our church, our child care programs, and campus ministry, responding, rejoicing, and being renewed by the Word of God. I pray for everyone in this room, because only you can answer this question. Am I all in for Jesus Christ? And do I desire to count the cost of following Him? God grant that we are all in and gladly pick up our cross and follow Christ. To His glory alone forever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Nicene Creed, page 158, we stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, because of your tender love toward us sinners, you gave Christ crucified and risen for our salvation. Believing in him, counting the cost, and picking up the cross, may we have everlasting life and remain steadfast in his faith and finally come to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you alone are the great physician of soul and body, because you chasten and heal, and we ask that you would show mercy and restoration to these your servants, Clyde Nairns, Arlene Oddie, Cormac Baxendale, Carol Bastian, Demetrio Pacheco, Ellen Robinson, Joan Everett, Donna Campbell, Leonard Canipa, Pastor Myron Maltz, Eugene Ladisaw, Bill Mullen, Jill Tarver, and Wanda Repke. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Because of your great love revealed in Christ, you have called us into the household of faith in the Holy Christian Church through faith in Jesus, our Savior. Continue to bless our Sunday school, our campus ministry, Lutheran Youth Fellowship, our Early Learning Center, and all that we do in this place. Grant, O Lord, that as your adopted children, your blessing would be poured upon us as your chosen ones carrying out your work for the kingdom of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for the rain provided for our dry earth, but we ask that you would be with the victims of Hurricane Dorian in the south. By your goodness, you have borne all of our afflictions and distress. Surround the victims of this hurricane with those who help and assist them in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, stretch forth your almighty arm to strengthen and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our country and nation. Doug Jupe, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Ricardo Batanga, Kevin Stevenson, and Danny Green, and all who serve. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By holy baptism, you've called us to be your own possession, and grant that our lives may be evidence of the working of your Holy Spirit in love, joy, peace, and patience, and obedience to your holy word. This week, bless Tim Buttrock, Glenn Repke, Rachel Fan, Dennis Brinketter, Dennis Gorman III, Tabitha Bachman, and Avery Tamale. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have blessed this congregation with marriages and families. Bless those in our parish who celebrate anniversaries this week, that they would ever live according to your commandments and love and serve one another. Adam and Jana Harper, Richard and Annette Geisler, Dale and Brenda Hartman. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, as you bless the international mission of those who serve in the Dominican Republic, especially Blake and Elizabeth Warren, who serve as missionaries in the Caribbean area. Give them strength and peace as they transition to life overseas, learn the culture and the language, and effectively communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. Please fill out the ritual friendship pad. Ask those next to you. Put it in the basket as you leave today. We'll not cook the offering.
Continue page 159. We stand to sing the offertory.
Oh,
you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathering in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away
by Christ,
the sin
by Christ
of the world. Have mercy on us.
Blood of Christ.
Lamb of God, you take away
blood of Christ.
true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ, the body of Christ. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you with true faith, body and soul, into life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
And give you peace.
Amen.